Mark chapter 15, that's on page 1022. And we're going to read verses 1 to 15, and then we're going to pick up at the end verses 42 to 47. So this is book ending, the death of Jesus on the cross right in the middle. So we're going to look at just before and then just after. Let's read together Mark chapter 15. Very early in the morning, the chief priests with the elders, the teachers of the law, and the whole Sanhedrin made their plans. So they bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. "Are you the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate. "You have said so," Jesus replied. The chief priests accused him of many things. So again, Pilate asked him, "Aren't you going to answer? See how many things they are accusing you of." But still, Jesus made no reply. And Pilate was amazed. Now, it was the custom at the festival to release a prisoner whom the people requested. A man called Barabbas was in prison with the rebels who had committed murder in the uprising. And the crowd came up and asked Pilate to do for them what he usually did. "Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate, knowing it was out of self-interest that the chief priests had handed Jesus over to him. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to get Pilate to release Barabbas instead. "What shall I do then with the one you call the king of the Jews?" Pilate asked them. "Crucify him," they shouted. "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." Wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. The verses that we have next detail to us the crucifixion and the death of Jesus. And then afterwards, when Jesus has died, we pick up again from verse 42 at the end of this chapter. It was preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath. So as evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Pilate was surprised to hear that he was already dead. Summoning the centurion, he asked him if Jesus had already died. And when he learned from the centurion that it was so, he gave the body to Joseph. So Joseph bought some linen cloth, took down the body, wrapped it in the linen, and placed it in a tomb cut out of rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. Amen. This morning, we're meeting with Pontius Pilate, governor over the Roman province of Judea. And we're wanting to gauge his reaction on the events of the trial and execution of one Jesus of Nazareth. So, Pilate, tell us, who are you? And what was your first acquaintance with this Jesus? And why? I'm Pontius Pilate. I'm the fifth prefect of the Roman province of Judea, and I serve at the pleasure of Emperor Tiberius as the governor over this region. I've been in my role since 26 AD, as you would call it. Now, I usually live in Caesarea, but I like to travel through the province. And seeing as it was Passover time at the time, I had to be in Jerusalem. It's packed at times of Jewish festivals. So I've got to step in and make sure that the city stays in order. Which is how I ended up with Jesus bound in front of me. They brought Jesus to me very early in the morning. through the night, those Jewish religious leaders had been interrogating him in a trial and had found him guilty of blasphemy. They say that he says he's God, some sort of promised Messiah. But without my approval as the Roman governor, their charge of blasphemy doesn't really hold up. To put him to death in any legal sense, they had to get my permission. Now, I knew what was happening. I knew the deal. They wanted him dead. The Sanhedrin, this council, that was a group of sometimes 23 or sometimes 71 rabbis and prominent Jewish men who would usually deal with the stuff within their own laws. But I'd done a little bit of research. This Jesus, who they had brought in front of me, he was growing in popularity and influence. And it was clear that these men and these priests and so on were jealous. I knew fine well that they had their own personal reasons for wanting rid of this Jesus. But still, I had a job to do. And they knew I ultimately wouldn't care about their blasphemy claim, that he was some Messiah. But they were smart, I'll give that to them. And I became a bit stuck. Because they told me that to claim to be the Messiah was to claim to be a king. And if you claim to be a king within these provinces, then by definition, you're rebelling against Emperor Tiberius. You're guilty of treason. So I've got this Jesus in front of me. What am I going to do with him? I know this all doesn't add up to much, so I asked him straight up, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he replies, and he said to me, "You have said so." It's as if he was saying yes, but I could tell there was some sense of reserve, as if there was something far more to the question that I asked and far more to the answer than it would seem. But annoyingly, he'd confirmed enough. It wasn't sitting right with me, but the words, the admission, was there. Pilate, what did you think of all of this? And what was the reaction of those making the accusations? And what was the reaction of Jesus himself? This man shouldn't have been a threat to them. I certainly didn't see him as a threat to me. He was certainly no threat to the emperor. But the religious chief priests started accusing him of a whole range of things. Why did they hate him so much? And I don't like these religious leaders. I hate dealing with them. But they were so determined to reject this Jesus. What had he done? But Jesus just stood there silent. Why was he silent? Why didn't he say something? He was on the edge of being condemned to death. But he was like a quiet lamb to the slaughter. I was amazed. Something really wasn't adding up. And I was very uncomfortable with all of this. He was no threat. He wasn't actually guilty of anything. Did you try and stop the trial at any point, Pilate? I could have done away with the whole thing. I'm the governor, after all. But it's important for me to stay in favor. That being said, an opportunity did appear. So at the Passover time, I would normally release one prisoner that the people would ask for. It was our way of playing to the crowd, getting them on our side, doing this one thing for them. And so the crowd approached us as normal to ask us about it. So I thought this was the way out. I'd offer them a chance out of this ridiculous mock trial that we were all conducting. And so I said, "Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" Surely the crowd would do the right thing. Surely they would release this guy that we all knew was innocent. But no, those chief priests stirred the crowd up. They convinced them to release a convicted murderer instead. This Barabbas had been in prison. The man was a terrorist. The man was dangerous. Jesus was innocent. I was so confused. So I said, what shall I do then? What shall I do then with the one that you call the King of the Jews? What shall I do with this man? And they shouted, crucify him. I just couldn't understand it. I had to ask them, why? What crime has he committed? And they didn't have an answer. They just kept shouting louder and louder. Now that's usually what people do when they don't have an answer. They knew he was innocent. I knew he was innocent. Why are they finding him guilty? Barabbas was guilty, and they're saying he's innocent. Did you, Pilate, go along with this and condemn this innocent man? What was I meant to do? What would you have done? They're all shouting at me. They're all shouting, crucify him. Clear as day. And I want to stay in their good books. I need this job. I can't go against the crowd. I can't incite some uprising again. They're a mob at this stage. I can't disappoint them. Who cares about this one man? I know he's innocent, but I need to save my own skin. I want them to respect me. I wanted things to be easier. So I did it. I wanted to satisfy this crowd. So I did what they wanted. I released Barabbas. And I even had Jesus flogged just for good measure. I knew they were like that. I ordered for him to be whipped with these leather whips embedded with bone and metal. This was just a great way to get into their good books. And then I handed him over to be crucified. And he was. I put my men on it. These are hardened executioners. They've done this a ton of times. They know how to get the job done. And they did. Pilate, what happened after this then? How did the story of Jesus of Nazareth end? And what did you think of it all? Well, as the evening approached, one of the Sanhedrin guys, someone called Joseph from a place called Arimathea, he came up to me and he asked me for Jesus' body. I was surprised. He's dead already? I suppose I did have him flogged. I mean, that often ripped apart someone's back and exposed their spines and their organs and would rip apart the sinews of the muscle and flay open the veins. Plenty of people in my time have died from that alone. And then we did make him walk all the way up the hill of Calvary where we do all the executions. And we had him carry his own cross. But I thought I would double check anyway. So I summoned the centurion, the man who was overseeing the whole thing, one of my best men, and he told me firsthand that Jesus had indeed died. So my investigation was formally over. That was it. I handed the body over to Jesus. In the end, he's just another man. In the end, that's it. Finished, done and dusted. I've saved my skin. Who cares? That was it, over. What was I meant to do? Choose this one man's life? Choose this guy over what these people thought of me? Fat chance. I've done nothing. I'm innocent of all of this. I've washed my hands of this whole situation. If you want to know more, go talk to Joseph. He took the body from this point on. We come now to Joseph. Joseph, who are you? And how did you get involved in all of this? Well, I'm Joseph. I'm from Arimathea. And I'm actually a member of the Sanhedrin Council. But to be honest, I don't want to be associated with what's gone on over the last day. I've had enough. I actually just can't do it anymore. So all my life, I've been waiting for what we call the kingdom of God. I've been waiting for God to break into this world, to do something, to fix it, to come back and to rule and to reign over us. I've been waiting for God to put things right. I've been waiting for God's real Messiah to come, for the one we've been waiting for. And I thought, over time, maybe this was Jesus. I mean, I wasn't meant to think that. Everyone else I knew, apart from Nicodemus, but don't tell the others, they were dead against Jesus. But it was wrong. I knew fine well that many of my own peers were just trying to stay in power. They were just trying to do things according to the way that they'd always been done. They just wanted to keep the status quo. It was all about them. But I couldn't stop thinking, what if this man was the one that we had been waiting for? What if he was the Messiah? Joseph, what convinced you that this might be the Messiah? Well, the more I saw, the more convinced I was. He was really performing miracles. He was doing things that we knew fine well were impossible. But he could do them. But the scriptures promised us this. And he was teaching these incredible things. But they made total sense with what the scriptures had always said. Like he was drawing together all of God's word as if into himself. And he was explaining them with some sort of knowledge and an intimacy that I'd never witnessed before. No teacher had ever spoken with his kind of authority. So eventually, I couldn't but believe. But for so long, I just had to keep things secret though. I couldn't let people find out. They'd mock me. They would throw me out of my work. I would lose honor. I would lose favor with people. I'd lose favor with the city. I was on the council. I'm a prominent member of society here. They all look up to me. I just couldn't bring myself to do it. I was scared of the consequences. But when our priests sentenced him to death, and then they manipulated the governor Pilate to actually go through with it, something snapped in me. I just couldn't sit silently with those who had so viciously sought his death. We had killed an innocent man, and they knew it. I knew it. Pilate knew it. None of us are innocent. Not one of us in the world are innocent. Something's wrong with me. I'm part of this. I'm a sinner. And we've all proven it by rejecting and killing this innocent man, Jesus. Joseph, though, if he died, why did you think that now was the time to start publicly following Jesus? It was the culmination of everything, including the way he died. Something was different. This wasn't normal. Now, he had done so many amazing things. I mean, we all knew that Lazarus had been raised from the dead. So we knew this Jesus could have come down from the cross, but he didn't. It's as if he was meant to be there. It was as if he chose to be there. And it just began to strike a chord with me. Maybe this Jesus knew what he was doing. Maybe something bigger was happening. He was even shouting from the cross, quoting Psalm 22, saying the words, my God, why have you forsaken me? I couldn't piece it together, but something strange and something huge was happening. And all of a sudden, it dawned on me that I had to stand by Jesus, even though everyone else was rejecting him. I knew I had to stand up to be counted. It just snapped that everyone else was saying no. But all the evidence was pointing, even his death, that he was special. And even though I was risking everything to do it, even though I knew that all the odds were against me, I mean, he was dead. Even though he's actually died, I had to do something. Something. I had to step up and I had to step out. Because this Jesus was different. I think he really was the Messiah. And we've killed him. Now, I don't know what's going to happen next. But I knew I had to do something. Joseph, what did you do after this? What was your way of making this statement on being on the side of Jesus? Well, I stood by him in his death. What else could I do? I went to Pilate and I asked for the body. I made all the arrangements. I've paid a lot of money for this tomb. No one has ever been in this tomb before. We had this cut out of the rock very recently. Now, this was expensive. And none of what's happened here, none of what I did was easy for me. It was costly. And in my case, it wasn't really that cheerful a job. He's dead. It wasn't easy. But we can't just stay secret disciples forever. I couldn't do it. I couldn't stay quiet about what I knew was true. I had to step up. I actually had to make up my mind. And my mind was made up for me by how unique this Jesus was. I think he was who he said he was. I think he was the king that was promised. I think he was the Messiah. What shall I do then? What was I meant to do? I had to. I had to stand by him. I had to risk it all. I was convinced Jesus was the real deal. Joseph, what was the end of the story? We've heard reports, but can you tell us what's happened since then? Well, just a few days later, it was all proved true. I checked on the grave myself. It was my own grave. It's my own tomb. It's my property. I checked it. It was empty. I'd made sure that everything was safe and secure, and it was now empty. And quickly, I began to find out that people had seen Jesus, that Jesus was alive, that Jesus was risen. I was right. This was the Messiah. His death was different. His life was now proven to have been the special life that I'd seen all along, in fact. He was God. And this was life-changing. It meant that if he was who he said he was, if he was God, and if the kingdom of God had now come, then I could be free. I could be forgiven. Because he's the Messiah that I've been waiting for. He would put the world right. He would forgive me for my sins. I've been waiting for the kingdom of God, and the king has come. Jesus was worth the risk. Jesus was worth losing it all. Because what had I lost anyway but emptiness and violence. That's what my peers have. They put this innocent man to death. What have I lost if I've put that away? There's nothing in that life for me anymore. They've proved it to be empty. But if Jesus was who he said he was, if he had risen from the dead to prove it, then I've made the right decision. What shall I do then? What shall I do then with the one that is the King of the Jews? I will follow him. I'm going to stand with him. He's my Messiah. There we have it. Two reactions from two very different people. What will you do? I suspect many of us in this room can understand a lot of what went through the mind of these two people. Do we sympathize and do we understand? Is what's going through our heart and mind what Pilate went through? Do we care more about what other people think? And at the end, are we just apathetic to the whole fact that Jesus died? Do you even care? Or do you care more about others and their opinions of you? Or do you see all the evidence of who Jesus is and all that he said and all the proof that he voluntarily died for sinners like you and me, and we decide then to step up and to step out on the side of Jesus? We can't be secret disciples forever. The Bible tells us to confess with our mouth. And Joseph confessed with his mouth and confessed with his actions that he was on the side of Jesus. Maybe now is the time for you to step out for Jesus. Next Sunday night even, we're going to be celebrating the Lord's Supper, which is when we remember the death of Jesus like he asked us to, with the symbols of the bread and the wine. And that's the opportunity for people who trust in Jesus as their Savior, as their Lord, to stand up and to confess with their mouth, to confess with that action that Jesus is their Messiah. Maybe this week, maybe today, maybe in time for next week, that could be you. Amen.